And we are back at Lone Star Money Resource. This is Dale Pieper, Mark Conley, and today we've got Paul Ostrin joining us. So we are happy to have him here. Last segment, we just spent some time getting to know him a little bit better, hearing about his family and his vacation experiences. So that was always good to hear. And
I'm ready to go on a Galveston cruise.
I know. So we are glad to be back. Just as a reminder, we do have our next coaching event coming up on April 27th. That's next Thursday evening. So if you do want more information about that, or if you would like to RSVP to that event, you can contact us at 713-826-0426. And our firm specializes in working with business owners. That's why we have Paul here with us today. We work in business protection. We work in personal wealth coaching. We've been doing this for over 20 years. We've got over $800 million in assets that we manage. And so today we're kind of taking a break from the norm of the radio show. And we've got Paul here, and we're going to kind of take a trip down memory lane and talk about how he got into the technology world and doing the things that he does. But before we do that, we're going to let him kind of give a recap of what his business does and how to contact him if you'd like more information.
All right. So we're a unlimited integration. We're a luxury smart home builder, I guess. We don't do home construction, but we do all your audio, video, security, automation, lighting control needs. We're at unlimitedintegration.com, and that's 832-857-0080 if you need to make an appointment or anything with us.
Fantastic. So kind of take us down memory lane. Kind of, you know, you said the business got started in 2011.
Right, 2011.
So kind of take us back to how you got started and kind of what made you choose that path.
Yeah, so I was a car audio guy. I don't know if you guys ever had, you know, big bass in your car.
I did. I had two 15-inch Pro Piles, man. I remember back in 1989, I beat, you know, all the bassing songs by coming out with Going Back to Cali LL Cool J.
That's right.
That was what I came with.
So I built those cars for a long time.
And then we had the 90s. I had the 12-disc changer in the trunk.
I mean,
sorry, you got us excited.
No, I mean, that's... I was super excited about that as well. So
I always kept the one Celine Dion CD in there for when the ladies got in the car.
That's right. You had it right. So, you know, so I did car audio for several years and in kind of early to late 90s. And I really enjoyed that. But the margins in it and the business side of it just kind of fell out. And new cars come with cool stuff. And you know, there were just fewer and fewer people who wanted to kind of mess with that stuff. And so the market kind of dried up a little bit. And so I went and got an internship with an electrical engineering company in Stafford. And I really enjoyed it. And I really liked what I was doing. But I just kind of got a little bored with it. And I love working with my hands. I like being outside. I like, you know, I'm not an office kind of guy. And so so we started as doing a little bit of IT work for a few companies and sort of built a little bit of an IT business and started to realize that I didn't really like that either. I mean, that was very similar to what I was doing and still in an office and all that kind of stuff. And my wife was a teacher at a school in Memorial and all of her parents kind of knew that I was sort of a smart tech guy, and she would tell them about me and, you know, one thing kind of led to another, and it was, hey, can you, you know, we got this bid to do this stuff, and we don't know anything about it, and we want somebody we trust. And so it sort of started as almost kind of a consulting kind of thing, like, hey, cool, you know, this is what this is, and no, the guy's not cheating you. And then it was like, well, hey, wait a minute, this is, there's money to be made in this, and, you know, and it really just takes somebody who's a little bit smarter and understands kind of the back end side of it. And so I started kind of reading about it and really just educating myself about everything there was to know about it. And then, you know, I went about it a little different than most people start a business. I found all the wholesalers that were in town that were selling the stuff, and I started kind of hanging out there, right? And I started trying to be the smartest guy in the room, right? And really learning the stuff that that those guys were saying that other people were having the hardest time with. And so that was sort of the programming side of things and the device specification and all that kind of stuff. The stuff that you know, hey, I'm a guy that does TV hangs only, right? And now I got this client who was recommended to me, but they're going to move into a 10,000 square foot house, and I've never even looked at a house that big. And I was helping those guys kind of make that switch. And then slowly but surely, it was more kind of buying those jobs almost, right? Like I'd go in and I'd say, okay, well, you know, let me just, you know, you can be the consultant for the client. You can still be involved. You can still be the labor and head and work guy, but let me be the one kind of really explaining how everything works to the client, all that kind of stuff. And then I got really, really risky, really lucky on some hires. And I've been very, very lucky. I mean, there's no really other way to say it, but I've been very lucky that guys have been available, sometimes not when I needed them, but really good guys have been available, and I've been able to hire them kind of at the right time and kind of move into more unique business opportunities and into jobs that maybe some guys, you know, would have kind of run away from. Right. We've always sort of been able to make it happen. And I've gotten, like I said, I've gotten really lucky, and we have a great, great team. And, you know, I was able to hire the right people at the right time and sort of just move from really being the teacher of some of these guys into more of a, you know, why use those guys when you can use us, right? And I would never, I'm friends with a lot of guys in our industry, right? So I'm never going to go and steal a job from one of those guys. But, you know, I think that there's probably 10 to 12 of us in town that are good enough to really handle some of those. And I think we all have a pretty good working relationship, and we don't try to step on each other's toes. And I know that if I'm going after one of those guys, the thing that we're selling against is me versus them, right? It's my sales team and my installers versus his sales team and his installers.
Right.
There shouldn't be a huge difference in price. There shouldn't be all of that. And so, you know, we really feel good that we have the right people, that we have the right team, all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Mentioning that, you know, you've got competition, and all entrepreneurs have to deal with competition. What do you feel like gives Unlimited Integration their competitive edge?
100% team, right? Okay. So, you know, we have the most knowledgeable and the best team in town, no question, right? I think the truth is, I think if you ask any of our guys, any of our competition in town, they will say that they have excellent people, right? And so where I'm very, very different than a lot of companies is that I haven't put me first. Right. And I get problems from it from other people, but, you know, I haven't put, when we have an opportunity to hire somebody, you know, that literally comes out of my pocket. Right. I mean, there's, especially when it's something that we may not really feel like we need immediately. And so, but we make that risk, and I take that risk, right, when it's the right guy. And one of the things we talked about, I was in a meeting yesterday, and one of the things we talked about was finding your A players and your B players and C players, mm-hmm. right? And when that A player comes available, you just got to take him. It doesn't matter what he costs. Like when you've got the right guy, you got to take him. And I've been pretty good about that. And sometimes to my detriment, right? I mean, sometimes it has hurt before it helped. It's always been a positive experience long-term, but sometimes that, you know, there's some risk involved, right? And so that's definitely our competitive edge. We are definitely there. I would say that three times a week, somebody in our team will get a phone call from another business, industry competitor, whatever it is, with a question on how something works or how something happens, because they know that our guys are just really the best.
So how are you, I guess, controlling that? Like what are things that you're doing or your team is doing to kind of keep ahead of that? Are they
So we,
is that self-study? Is it just kind of, you know, or is it just...
I mean, we obviously do tons of training. Our guys train the guys below them. But, you know, the truth is, I think a ton of it is that finding the right guy, it's interesting because, again, we're cutting edge, right? So a lot of it is really that the guy loves what he does, right? So, you know, our lighting guy reads about lighting stuff all day, right? I mean, he just, that's what he does. I mean, he's into it, right? Mm-hmm. Our lead techs and our project management guys, they read the industry forums and that sort of stuff every day just because, you know, every morning that's the thing that gets them going, right? Like they really like this stuff. I do too, right? I mean, I read our industry magazines and web stuff every single day because it's just what we like doing. And so, you know, yeah, there's training. Obviously, training is huge, right? And I tell guys all the time, like if there's a product they want to take home, if there's something I need to buy so that they become better at it, I'm totally down, right? Like if it's something that can make us better, let's do it. But the truth is, the reason he's an A player is because he goes and does it by himself, right? I mean, it just, you know, he goes and figures it out, right?
Yep.
So
there's something in them. It's that, you know, it's that X factor that
absolutely.
You don't even know how to define it.
Absolutely, right? Why is anybody good at anything, right? I mean, because they want to be, right? Like you can't make somebody want to be the best at anything. I have been very lucky to find guys who just really want to be awesome. And so, you know, they go out of their way to learn new things, to try new things. I don't know if we're running short.
You're good.
one of the guys, a manager of mine when I was at an engineering company a long time ago said, you know, you've got to be the master of your domain, right? You got to find the thing that nobody wants to do and you got to be the best at it, right? And whether that's cleaning toilets because you're a janitor or a whatever it might be, right? In our industry, it's finding a guy who wants to go and learn how to control lighting systems or program lighting systems or learn about LED bulbs or whatever it might be, right? You make yourself the master of that and then you're irreplaceable, right? Because that's what our company is, right? We're a company of lighting design and control and all that kind of stuff. And if I lose a programmer, well, I mean, you know, what do I do, right? And so now if I have the best programmer because he wants to be and he goes out and he learns all about it and all that kind of stuff, well, now I've got the master of that. It doesn't matter if he's a terrible B player on everything else. I'm sort of willing to make sacrifices for that guy to make sure that he stays, right? And so, you know, I tell my guys that all the time, you know, try to find the thing that maybe nobody else wants to do and become the master of it. And now it doesn't matter what it is, right? It's that thing, that X factor that nobody else wants to do. But now I got a guy who does it and I got he's the best in the world. And so, you know, why would we leave him? So,
wow. That's awesome. I mean, I can tell that you are a great team builder. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And one of the things that we're going to want to get into when we get to the next segment is sometimes being that team builder can be a lonely job, being the entrepreneur, being on top. And what, you know, we want to hear a little bit about some of the things we've talked offline about how you handle that. And I think people would love to hear that when we get into the next segment. That'll be some real good stuff. So at Wealth Design Group, we help business owners monetize their businesses. And when we talk about what that means that we understand that business owners and entrepreneurs' main asset is their business. And that is always going to give them the biggest, baddest, best rate of return out of anything they can possibly do. And what we do at Wealth Design Group is we just try to help them monetize that by helping the business to be as valuable as it possibly can at whatever point that there might be a sale of the business, whether it's sold internally or it's sold externally, someone wants to retire, or even if something goes wrong, if there's someone gets sick or hurt in the business, a key player or an owner, or there's a death, what's the plan to continue that business and it have the most value now when it's sold and on to the next generation? We also help business owners with looking for tax deductions that they can have so that they can put more into their business and help that grow and making sure the employees are happy. And that's really what we do. And we're going to have a great business owner on in the last segment, Paul Ostrin with Unlimited Integration. So keep listening. This is Lone Star Money Resource.